In chapter 2, I know that some of you wouldn't have been here last night, but we were looking at some of the things in relation to the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3, and we started to speak about the church at Ephesus. I just want to read Revelation 2 and verse 1. Revelation 2 and verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, or as it would be better translated, the seven golden lampstands. Now we noticed last night something of the privilege of this church at Ephesus and the many good teachers that they had had, and yet now they were receiving this further instruction from the Lord. And when you come to these letters that the Lord writes to these churches, it's interesting to notice how he introduces himself to each church. And he introduces himself in a very particular way that is appropriate to the spiritual condition of the assembly, the needs that each assembly had. And in most of the letters that you have, at least in six of them, the way that he introduces himself clearly links back to some aspect of his appearance that John has seen in chapter 1 when he had the vision of the risen Christ. Perhaps just with the exception of the letter to Philadelphia, where the Lord seems to go back to a verse in Isaiah chapter 22 and reference that verse in the way that he introduces himself. Otherwise, in every one of these letters to the assemblies, he references the vision that John has seen. And that general point is very relevant, because what we would learn from that is that the answer to all the problems and the answer to all the needs that each assembly had, the answer was found in the Lord. He was the one who would meet the need of, and meet the problem. And so Christ is just displaying himself as the one who meets the need. Now, how does he introduce himself to the church at Ephesus? These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and who walketh in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. So that clearly links back to several verses in chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 13, John saw when he heard the voice, and he turned, and he saw in the midst of the seven lampstands one like unto the Son of Man. And then also you get to verse 16 of chapter 1, and he had in his right hand seven stars. So these are the things that the Lord is reminding this assembly of as he introduces himself to the church at Ephesus. And he's emphasizing his sovereignty, that he is the one who has absolute sovereignty in relation to his church. He is the head of the church. And his sovereignty would include his right, if it were necessary in relation to this church at Ephesus, it would include his right ultimately to take away a lampstand of testimony that was there for himself. He had the sovereign right to take that away. And that, of course, is what he comes to further down the letter when you get to verse 5. If they did not repent of their turning away in their hearts from the Lord, he says, I will come unto thee, and I will remove thy lamp out of his place, except thou repent. So the Lord is emphasizing his sovereignty. And he's emphasizing his preeminence. And he's saying that I'm the one who's walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. The Lord Jesus is the one who is in the midst. Now that is a delightful theme of Scripture, and I'm sure many of you have looked into these things, the thought of Christ in the midst. It speaks of his centrality. and it speaks of his absolute preeminence. And it's also particularly a theme of the writings of John. You go back to the Gospel of John, and in chapter 19, the Lord is being crucified, and John tells us that there was those that he was with, those malefactors on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And whenever we have the Lord in the midst, I always like to think of it as he is the one that flowing out from him there is blessing. And he was in the midst of the malefactors. He was the Savior on the center cross, and he was in the midst of the malefactors. And there was blessing that was flowing out. He was providing salvation. He was providing salvation for every one of you and I that are saved this morning. He was even providing salvation for one of those malefactors that was on the other cross. So he was in the midst as the Savior, in the midst of the sinners, providing salvation. You go to the next chapter in John's Gospel, and it's the risen Christ, and the disciples are gathered together, and the door is closed for fear of the Jews, and Jesus appears in the midst. And again, he's the one from whom blessing flows. And he says three times over in John 20, "Peace be unto you." And he's giving peace to these disciples. Their hearts are troubled. They've just seen the Lord put to death. And there's fear in their hearts. And he says, "Peace be unto you." And he breathes on them and says, "Receive ye Holy Spirit." And he provides for them the very power of the Spirit of God. Until that time when the Spirit of God would be sent down on the day of Pentecost, the Lord is meeting the needs of those disciples. They will not have to go on even for those few weeks without the power of the Spirit of God. He's the risen Christ there in the midst of his disciples. He's dispensing peace and blessing. And you come to John's writing here in Revelation, and again, the theme continues of the Lord in the midst. In chapter 5 and verse 6, he's the freshly slain lamb, and he's in the midst of heaven's throne, and he's the center of all the worship of heaven, as the four living creatures, the 24 elders, and the multitudes of angelic beings, and all their worship is focused upon the lamb who's in the midst of the throne, the center of heaven's worship. And you get him again in chapter 7 and verse 17 as again the one who is the Lamb in the midst of the throne. And there again we see him providing for his saints. And I think in Revelation 7 the context is in relation to the tribulation saints. He's the one who's shepherding those saints. He's caring and he's providing for the needs of those saints. So the Lord is in the midst. But what do we have here in chapter 1 and chapter 2? He's the one who's walking in the midst of the seven lampstands. Lampstands which are local testimonies, local assemblies. And the Lord Jesus is the one who moves in the midst. I do trust that each one of us who are in assembly fellowship, we do have a real appreciation in our hearts of the truth that we gather to the name and to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've just had it read to us from Matthew 18, verse 20. "For where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst of them." And the Lord Jesus is the one who, when we gather in his assembly, he takes his place in our midst. And I do trust that as we gather with the Lord's people, we appreciate the warmth of this. We appreciate the blessing of it. We appreciate the blessing that's coming to us as we gather with the risen Christ. And we appreciate the reality of his presence with us. You know, sometimes the saints get very focused on one another. There's another example of one another, but we in a negative way, we get focused on all the failures that we see in one another. And as we're gathering together, we're distracted by all the things that annoy us about one another. And it's because our eyes have been taken off of the one that we should have our focus upon. We should be focusing only on the risen Christ. And if our gaze is all upon him, and we're just basking in the warmth and the encouragement of his person and his glory and his grace that's being extended to us, I think that our assemblies would certainly be in a much better place. And so he's here in the midst, walking in the midst. But I want to just think, particularly for the time that we've left, about the thought of the local assembly as a golden lampstand. We've heard a little bit this morning about the assembly as house of God. And it causes us to appreciate what a tremendous thing it is for you and I to be brought into the fellowship of the local assembly. Because we appreciate what it means to God. It is a golden lampstand. A lampstand is to display light. And so we have this most basic thought, and my thoughts this morning are very basic. The most basic thought that a New Testament assembly is for divine testimony. And it's to give testimony for God. And it's to be a witness for Christ in a dark world. We are to be as golden lampstands. The Lord Jesus called himself the light of the world. I am the light of the world, John chapter 9. And we are here as testimonies for him. And we are here to display the light of Christ in a darkened world. And God desires that testimony for him. And God desires that witness for his Son in this world. How is it to take place? It is to take place in local assemblies as lampstands of testimony for him. And that is something that we need to appreciate. Every believer who is in local assembly fellowship, I want us all to be very clear about this, that as far as God is concerned, testimony for him is in relation to local assemblies. It's not about confederations of gatherings and gatherings coming together into big man-made societies or some large organizations. It's about individual local assemblies. And as you read these letters in Revelation 2 and 3, how does the Lord Jesus address his church? He addresses his church by speaking to local assemblies. You see, God doesn't envisage anything else. As testimony for him, testimony is to be found in local assemblies. And as lampstands, we're to be a source of light. We're to be a source of divine light. Now, what kind of testimony does that involve? Well, of course, we think of gospel testimony. And local assemblies are to display the light of the gospel. The gospel is spoken of as in 2 Corinthians 4, as the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And so local assemblies are to be involved in displaying the light of the gospel of Christ. And you and I who are in local assembly fellowship, we are to be involved in supporting that activity as we display the light of the gospel. We should support the gospel meeting that our assembly has. Don't think that that's a meeting that maybe you don't have to go to every Sunday. If you're in local assembly fellowship, you need to be supporting the gospel meeting that takes place every Sunday evening. And other ways that the assembly is involved in making known the gospel. Maybe it is distributing gospel leaflets in the area, or in open-air preaching, or meetings that might take place in other places such as hospitals or care homes or even prisons or wherever we might have the opportunity to make known the gospel. If you're in assembly fellowship, you're part of a lampstand, and it is our responsibility to make known the light of the gospel. But as lampstands, there's other truth that we are to uphold as lampstands for God, as well as gospel testimony. Local assemblies as lampstands should display all the truth of God. We were reminded from 1 Timothy 3, the local assembly there in verse 15, in its house of God character. We're to be the pillar and ground of the truth. Not only gospel truth, but all the truth of God. All the truth of the Godhead. Truth in relation to the person of God. Truth in relation to the person of the Lord Jesus. Local assemblies are to be places where the doctrine of Christ is made known. And all the detail of his person, and all the glory and the beauty of his person is being displayed as we uphold the truth in relation to the Lord Jesus. Truth in relation to the Spirit of God. An area where many places go wrong. Local assemblies as lampstands bear the light of truth in relation to the Spirit of God. Truth in relation to our principles of gathering. And the way that we engage in collective worship. Truth in relation to moral principles. Not only to be doctrinally correct, but also being part of a local assembly, a lampstand, there should be a display of moral truth in the lives that we live. And these things should be in evidence and should be seen by the world around us. And all these different aspects of truth are to be displayed as we think of local assemblies as lampstands. But notice the adjective here. The Lord Jesus is walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Now that tells us that God views the local assembly as something of great value. They are golden lampstands. Gold in the scripture always speaks of deity. It speaks of the character of deity. It would remind us of the truth of God. It would remind us of the righteousness of God. And so local assemblies, they have the very stamp of God upon them. They are golden lampstands. Local assemblies are instituted by God, divinely instituted. They're divinely constituted. It is the children of God who make up those that gather in a local assembly. And they exist and they continue and they're sustained and they grow because of divine supply and divine support. Golden lampstands. A lampstand needs the oil. It needs the oil to be poured in order for the light to keep shining. And every local assembly, it must depend on the supply of the Spirit of God for every exercise that we would be involved with. And so, local assemblies are golden lampstands. They are testimonies to the truth of God and testimonies to the righteousness of God. You know, as we touch on these very basic things, I do trust that for each one of us who are in local assembly fellowship, we're just appreciating afresh this morning what a tremendous thing it is to be associated with local assembly fellowship. This is something that is valued by God. Golden lampstands. What a tremendous thing it is to just grasp what it is to be associated with something that is so precious to God. A local assembly purchased with the blood of God's own Son. And God in His grace has saved us. And He's brought us to this truth of gathering to the name and person of the Lord Jesus. I trust, dear saint of God, you hold that truth dear. And I trust that it would cause you to give everything that you have to your local assembly. In terms of your energy, in terms of your loyalty, in terms of your time, give everything that you can to the lampstand of which you form a part, as you would appreciate what it means to God. It is a golden lampstand, and what it means to Christ. And I believe that testimony manward and the effectiveness and the power of our testimony manward is going to depend upon our appreciation of the value of the assembly Godward and what it means to God. And so we may we be preserved from ever just regarding our local assembly as that we're linked with as something just for us, just for our convenience. Yes, it's a place where we can break bread on a Sunday morning and we can remember the Lord And maybe that is basically all it becomes to us. How very sad. Beloved saints, God desires that we be marked by loyalty and by a singleness of heart for the assembly in which he has placed us. And the local assembly needs each one of us. We are members of a body. And the body can't function if it doesn't have all the members working properly. And the local assembly needs you and I. And you and I, we need the local assembly for care and for fellowship and for spiritual preservation. You know, it's very sad when you might gather on a midweek night for the assembly prayer meeting and you find that barely half of the assembly is gathered. Half of the body is there. How can the body function when only half the members are there? No wonder there's such weakness, because there isn't that loyalty that there should be to the assembly that God has brought us to. So these are very basic thoughts. They're golden lampstands. A lampstand would stand on its own base, and that would remind us that each assembly is autonomous. Each assembly is a separate entity in the sight of God. They stand alone before God. They are answerable, each assembly, answerable to God and to Christ, the risen head. These seven assemblies in Revelation 2 and 3, they were located near one another. I'm sure there was some movements amongst the assemblies. I understand that there was a good Roman road that linked all of these assemblies together. But each one was independent, and the Lord speaks to each one individually. He doesn't just speak to them all collectively. He has a message for each individual assembly. And each individual assembly is accountable directly to God and to Christ. Not accountable to other assemblies. Not accountable to any kind of central committees. Not accountable to any specific individual teachers or preachers or anything like that. But accountable only to Christ, the risen head. And you notice as you read these seven letters, and as they receive the instruction from the Lord, that the Lord doesn't ask any one assembly to interfere with the other assembly. The Lord deals directly with each individual assembly. And that really brings us to this, here in verse number 1, He holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and he is the one who is walking in the midst of the seven lampstands. The Lord emphasizes it's his right hand, and the right hand speaks of his power, and it speaks of his sovereignty. But notice how he speaks about these seven stars, these messengers to the assemblies, in relation to his hands. Just notice some of the verses in these chapters. In chapter 1, verse 16, He had in his right hand seven stars. Now that speaks of possession. He had in his hand the seven stars. They are his messengers. They are the Lord's messengers being held in his right hand. They belong to him. Chapter 1, verse 20. And I understand that it should be rendered in verse 20. The seven stars upon my right hand. That speaks of support. That speaks of display. They're supported by, they are displayed upon the Lord's right hand. But then here in chapter 2, verse 1, He that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. And that word holdeth, I understand, signifies that they were held firmly. They were held tightly in his grasp. And his grasp upon them would never weaken. He that holdeth the seven stars, that speaks of security and it speaks of control. They're being held securely in his right hand. They're being sovereignly controlled by him. And then you come to chapter 3, verse 1, at the beginning of the letter to Sardis. And it doesn't mention his right hand there, but he says, He that hath the seven stars. That speaks of availability. Those messengers that are available for his service. Now let's just in closing bring the thoughts together here in chapter 2 verse 1. He's the one who sovereignly holdeth the seven stars, his messengers, his servants. He's the one who is actively walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. And so we begin to appreciate, what is the Lord engaged with during this present day of church testimony? For all of these years that the Lord has been at the right hand of God, and church testimony has been going on in earth, what is the Lord involved with? What is his interests? His interest, his occupation, is his assemblies, his golden lampstands. And he's the one who's walking in the midst of them. And he's observing all that's going on. And he's recognizing all the things that's taking place, and all the works that they're doing. And he's the one who is moving as the judge. In that vision in chapter 1 that John has had, he's seen the Lord as the Son of Man. And he's walking and he's moving as a glorified judge. And his eyes are as a flame of fire. And he's seeing everything that's taking place. And he who is actively and observantly walking in the midst of the lampstands, seeing all the needs of his assembly, he is the one who holds in his sovereign right hand his messengers, the ones that he can send. The ones that he holds securely, the ones that he controls with sovereignty, they are his messengers. They are available for his service, and they're going to move to minister to meet the needs of his assemblies. You see, dear saints of God, we'll have to close. Time is up. It teaches us simply to depend on the risen Christ. He is the one that can meet our needs. And he uses his servants in his sovereign way. And he brings the word of God to us through his servants. And these are the words that Christ would have for his people and for his assemblies. I trust that we have an open ear to hear the word of God. It's the word of the Lord. It's to meet the needs of his assemblies. And the Lord desires that our needs might be met. And he is the one who holds in his hand his messengers, who will bring the word of the Lord, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message to the people, that our needs might be met. And we trust that as we gather for a conference like this, that our ears will be open to hear the Lord's message, and that it will be for the blessing of the assemblies that we form a part. We trust that God would bless his word.